This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 15 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they don't listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP, stem cell, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic, Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic, at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule an appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
This is Brian Wilkes here, back again with the one and only Dr. Chad Edwards. How you doing, doctor?
If I were any better, I'd be twins. There I started go. To say the vitamin one, but I got banished
on the last episode. Yeah, I got it. Well, I'm pretty excited about the show.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. I don't know if our listeners are ready for it.
I don't know if we're ready for this.
This is episode 15, right?
That's right.
I feel like we're taking a major stride forward from 14 to 15. We're about to blow people's minds, right?
Boom.
Bam. So I would say that this episode is going to be the highest rated episode of all time. And what I mean by all time is the prior 14 episodes.
You're probably right.
Right?
We are setting the bar high here.
We are setting the bar. We do have before we give the topic, okay?
Yeah.
Let's introduce our special guest today. I'm excited about our guest.
Let's do it. So we have with us today the one and only Courtney Garner, APRN. She is a nurse practitioner at Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic, and her specialty is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and sexual health.
Which may or may not be the topic.
May or may not.
May not. She's a very smart person, though, you know?
I think she's smarter than you and I put together.
I would say...
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I would say that was Courtney,
it's
by
possible.
The way. Courtney, do you want to comment on that officially?
I will not officially comment since Doc is kind of my boss.
Oh, he's your boss.
Like a boss.
Okay, so Courtney, let me ask Chad a question before we get into the topic, because okay. I want you to introduce the topic.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
For legal reasons, for Chad and I, okay?
Does that mean your wives?
Yeah, that means our wives.
Probably.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So tell me, Chad, Dr. Chad, does Courtney have permission today to literally say whatever she wants without you holding it against her?
Yes.
Yes, there
That's
you go,
what
Courtney.
That's what this podcast is about.
So Courtney, tee it up. What are we talking about today?
Hot
We're
going to
get real today. We are going to talk about low sex drive in women.
In women. Because most men don't have that, right?
Most men do not have that problem.
Yeah,
but they do if their wives have that problem.
Wait, explain that to me. Walk that out for me.
Do I need to walk that out?
No, legal reasons. We got it. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. Yeah.
So to be clear,
let's be clear.
It can be an issue in men, and don't feel ashamed about it. But that's one of the things that we can address, and that's a male problem.
Mm-hmm.
It can be multifactorial, but so anyway, we're focusing specifically on women, which
right.
My experience,
right?
I'm talking about professionally, not at all am I referring to my private life.
Right.
My experience is that low sex drive
in
the low sex drive in a relationship
right.
is generally coming from the female, the
right.
woman.
Yes.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
Again, professionally.
I think that's safe. I don't know if we need to Google any statistics today. I will say before we get started in the detail of all this, between the three of us and Marshall too, we have a safety word. So we have pineapple. If you hear the word pineapple on the show, that means someone's feeling unsafe.
We got to
back
off.
Someone got awkward.
Yeah, someone got awkward. And I can only guess who that might be, Marshall. Anyway.
Pineapple.
Pineapple. So that's the key word to move on. So let's get kind of more clinical about this. What is the underlining cause, Courtney and Dr. Chad, as if I would know anything about this, of low sex drive in women?
Oh, man, such a good question. You know, I get a lot of patients, a lot of females coming in with this problem. And some of it can definitely be relationship issues. I definitely don't want to undermine those. But a lot of women, tired, low testosterone, they've been on birth control before, and we'll kind of explain how that affects sex drive. But a big issue, nonetheless.
So how big is it? I think we have some statistics here, Dr. Chad.
Do I have the statistics?
Do you have the statistics? How?
They're unofficially official.
Where are those statistics? Yeah.
I just would say a good 98% of my patients come in and complain of low sex drive.
Right.
And some of them, ironically enough, they really don't, some of them come in for that, but right. then a lot of them, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, so kind of a hot topic, you know, a questionable topic for women. A lot of times it's me pulling it out of them that, hey, you know, this is going on. And
tell me, how do you do that?
How do you do that?
So they come in for like a headache.
I give them some warm-up questions before I get there. Given my experience, right. 98% of the women coming into our office have low sex drive.
Wow.
And or difficulty reaching orgasm. Ooh. Which may be the big root right there.
Ooh. What do you say, Dr. Chad?
I don't know anything about
that. You just don't want to talk the show.
Well, that hadn't been a
been his
are
issue.
Are we talking professionally?
That's
or
never
or
been his issue.
Nope.
Okay, so they come into your office. They tell you they have low sex drive, or they don't, but you pull it out of them. What's the next step?
Well, just talking through that, a lot of times, you know, getting the patient to kind of guide through, okay, there's no relationship issue, and really asking them root questions about their sleep, their exercise habits, and their diet can lead to a lot of information, history of medications that they've used, antidepressants, birth control, that kind of thing. And getting them to be honest with me, can you reach orgasm? Is that an issue? And if it is, kind of go down a different path. With helping them get that better. Because if it's good, we're going to want to have more sex.
What is good? What is a healthy sex life?
Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question because how do you know if you're diagnosing someone with a low sex drive, what's the healthy outcome? Is it all just perception?
To a big extent, I would say yes. I mean, a lot of my patients will say, well, I don't mind, but my husband would really love it if you would fix that. Mm-hmm. And that clues you into there's a tug of war in the relationship that the woman's not wanting to have it as much as the man. And some of them will just come out and say like, oh, I could care less, you know, whenever I was younger or before I had kids or whatever it might be. I wanted to have sex all the time, but now I don't. And mm-hmm. it's causing a problem and it could be better.
Right.
I think the issue is a mismatch between the man and the woman.
That's true.
You know, if there's couples out there that are having sex once a month and they're both happy with it, then right. then what's the problem?
It's a good point. So the man's wants more and the woman...
It's when there's a mismatch. And I've seen it with where the woman has a higher sex drive than the man.
You have?
I have. It's actually
been...
There's been several.
Really?
It's not nearly as uncommon as you would think. But again, the vast majority, it's generally the female with a lower sex drive. That's generally the case in what I've seen. And also, it's much more multifactorial. Men, you know, certainly there can be psychological issues, but, you know, you fix their testosterone levels and their stress and all
those
things.
They're ready to go.
And it's almost like it's, you know, men have one-track mind. Well, they have one-track hormone. And
women, way more complicated.
Way more complicated.
Courtney, explain that to us. How are women more complicated? I'm serious about this. A lot of the listeners are out there.
I always joke with women, like, I can't make your husband pick up his dirty socks off the floor and right. put his dishes in the right. dishwasher because for a lot of women, you know, really probably for all women, sex is a love language for them. It's not just an orgasm. It's not just quick and go on, move on with my day. It means something more to them. And so if they're frustrated with them not getting their love language back, right? So if a woman's love language is acts of service or gifts or whatever, not getting those things in return, then sometimes there can be some frustration in the relationship from that perspective.
So some of the things I'm looking on this sheet here, as if I know anything about it, are there hormonal issues associated or antidepressants and all of these things? If it's a matter of a more of an emotional love connection, are those things affected by imbalance of hormones or antidepressants, et cetera?
Absolutely. That's definitely the case that we're seeing more and more. And, you know, I just kind of like was like, all right, well, let's just Google. Let's see what information is out there on the great internet about sex drive in women. And the first thing that pops up is a post from Mayo Clinic giving out some information, and they list a handful of issues as cause. And this is kind of where we'll tie in the going against the grain here, because I think that they got some of the marks right, but missed a lot of it. They list out lifestyle issues such as alcohol intake, street drugs, medications, including antidepressants, which is absolutely true, medical problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, some relationship issues. And they really only mentioned hormone disturbance one time, and they listed it as breastfeeding or pregnancy or menopause.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, most of my patients come in with low sex drive are in their late 20s, yep. 30s. Mm. It's happening way younger than menopause, and it's really not necessarily maybe happening after babies, but it's not necessarily associated with straight with pregnancy.
Mm. Right. Yeah, and I would, you know, to tag onto that, it's what does that say about a woman if it's breastfeeding or menopause, but you're having a low sex drive and it's a problem in your relationship, and it's like, well, I'm 30 years old, I'm not menopausal. I mean, what is that saying? It's almost like it's a black eye that there's something screwed up about me that,
right.
You know, some women, you know, desperately want to please their husband, but they just couldn't care less. And so then it sets up this internal emotional thing. And it's kind of like with men and performance anxiety. And I mean, sexual performance anxiety,
right.
If you can't get an erection at the appropriate time, then it can be a little bit harder next time. Cause it's like, is it going to happen?
Right.
You know, so
it can
certainly, you know, compound the problems. And I just think that from a medical community, and I think, Courtney, one of the things that you're big on is that this is not well addressed in the medical community. We just don't address this well.
Yeah, it's upsetting. It's frustrating. But we're turning the tide on this, a revolution. We're making changes for women that they can feel comfortable coming in and being honest about where they're at. And really getting help and getting good, accurate help, not just getting another pill. That's a lot of what I'm hearing is, hey, I talked to my OB about this, my gynecologist about this, and really what they recommended was an antidepressant, and I'm not interested in another pill. And, you know, and really furthermore, that's totally backwards.
Right.
Because that's also a cause of low sex drive. So I'm not, you know, it's funny to me, it's probably more men gynecologists than it is women giving that answer, but I just think that there's not good information on what to do about it.
Right.
And no one means, I don't think any of the physicians mean harm that are offering an antidepressant or ignoring the issue. They just simply don't know where to begin.
Well, I think I will add to that. I think culturally, especially in the Midwest, in the Bible Belt, as we talked about earlier, there is a taboo around the word sex. And I think one of the things that Revolution does well is it's not just sex, but there's a culture of openness around your office about issues that people normally wouldn't feel comfortable talking about. I also think it's difficult to talk about these issues at church or, you know, in your social group, but I think it's unique that you have the kind of office, that environment that welcomes that, right? That people shouldn't be ashamed.
Yeah.
Not only are you doing that, but you have a global podcast
exactly
on the subject. So I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, our goals are to optimize how people look, feel, and perform
right.
in every area. And
right.
this, I mean, it's, you know, relationships in general, it's a big deal.
Yes.
And, you know, I know, something that you said a second ago, Courtney, kind of made me think of it. Maybe you said it, Brian, but many men use sex to increase intimacy. For women, sex is an expression of the intimacy that's already there. In other words, you don't...
absolutely true.
It you can't, you know, for... You can, I don't want to say ignore your spouse, but you could be gone all day long and you come
right.
home and you're like, hey, let's have sex, and that's going to increase our intimacy. And for women, it's like, no.
Right.
Like, that doesn't increase intimacy. It's an expression of the intimacy that's already there.
Oh, this God of the universe planned it well, didn't he?
It's true.
He planned it well.
We make you work for it.
Yeah. You got to spend time with her. You got to love her, right?
That's right.
So talk to me about some of the common, I don't know if you saw this on Google, Courtney, what are some of the common treatments for female low sex drives that are good or bad or ugly?
Well, good, bad, and ugly. Antidepressants are being given. There's a brand new drug called Addy. And we could really do a totally separate podcast on that drug altogether. Maybe we'll pull that out one day. But this is funny to me. Sex therapy counseling And not that that's not invalid, but I just can't see a lot of people, you know, getting in line to go to a sex therapist, at least around here.
Yeah, like what do they do funny to me. At a place like that? What's the?
I'm not sure. I'm not like, sure.
They teach you maybe just what to do.
Maybe I'm not sure. Pineapple.
Pineapple. Okay. I love it. Okay, fine, Courtney.
Estrogen right. By pill, patch, or spray, or gel. Which, synthetic. Lots of risk with that. They report testosterone to be controversial and not approved by the FDA, which and enlisted as an alternative medicine, which is just funny altogether because when you really look at someone's lab work that's experiencing these symptoms, a lot of times this is the big one that comes up is low testosterone. And in all reality, if you're using, you know, bioidentical and keeping everything safe and monitoring levels, your risks are really low, and a lot of people's right. health overall dramatically improves if we get their testosterone levels within normal range, even for women.
And since you mentioned testosterone, you know, obviously we work with hormones a lot at Revolution, and we utilize testosterone quite a bit, and we'll also utilize things like cortisone, cortisol, hydrocortisone, steroids. And so many people, when they hear I'm going on steroids, I'm going on hydrocortisone, that I'm on steroids, and that's viewed negatively. You know, like, so some people think that they're going to have, like, with when we're using hydrocortisone, they'll think about like a patient with rheumatoid arthritis or, you know, severe asthma exacerbations that are on steroids all the time and have all these negative effects of steroids. And the issue is that when you're putting someone on steroids for those conditions, you're not getting optimal physiologic levels. You're going above the physiologic levels. So you're not using it physiologically, you're using it pharmaceutically. So in the case of testosterone, many women may hear that and kind of reel back and, oh, I don't want to grow hair on my face and I don't want to, right. you know, get bulky and muscular.
Until you have the best orgasm of your life.
Boom.
There you go. But
and boom, you know, pineapple.
We're talking about replacing what's not there. We're not talking about getting women's testosterone levels up to 300 and causing all these kind of problems.
Truth.
It's not there. Replace it.
So, Courtney, what are some of the non-HIPAA violation story time things that we can do?
HIPAA, Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
Thank you for reminding me, though. Yep. All right, so I got a little patient story here for you. And keep in mind that I get a fair amount come in begging me to help them stop faking orgasms. So if that is you, come see us. We can totally help. We've had patients from their 20s all the way up to their 70s coming through, and for a variety of causes, from having hysterectomies where your cervix is removed and that removes some nerve endings, and we can give cream to kind of help, some treatment kind of help with that. But a lot of things that we can do. But I've got a little patient story. 34-year-old female came in for fatigue, and we went through her symptoms, and whenever I brought up low libido, she said, yes, it's definitely low. I definitely used to be more interested than I am, and kind of once again laughs and says, my husband would be so grateful. She had been on Synthroid for low thyroid, history of birth control use, currently off birth control. Since having her second kiddo, 3 to 4 years prior, she had noticed that she was anxious, increased headaches before menstrual cycles, heavy menses, like I said, low libido, difficulty losing weight, chronic constipation, just a lot of things going on.
Wow.
And she did mention that mild difficulty reaching orgasm. So we went ahead and ran labs on her, looked at her thyroid. Her TSH was kind of borderline high according to the standard ranges. It was at a 4.2, which that's another podcast that I think we've already touched on.
Yeah, we've touched on that a little bit. There will be more in the future.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a short break, okay?
Okay.
And let's dig into this story.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Upper Cervical Health Centers is not your typical chiropractic office. Different in that they never jerk, twist, snap, or crack your spine. They offer a gentle approach to address your health issues naturally. Their patients report an improvement of over 75% in their overall health. They are so much more than a neck and back pain relief clinic. Call 918-742-2300 or visit their website at www.uppercervicaltulsa.com/newyou for a special offer on your first visit. Find your way back to health with Upper Cervical Health Centers.
And we're back here with Brian Wilkes here, Dr. Chad Edwards, and Courtney. Courtney, you were right in the middle of the non-HIPAA violation story time, talking about a 34-year-old female that came in for fatigue and these kind of things, low sex drive, right?
Right. Yep. Looking at her lab work when we got that back, TSH was 4.2, kind of borderline high for the standard range. Free T4, free T3, kind of mid to low range. Reverse T3 was high. Vitamin D was low at 26. Progesterone was low at 0.6. And that was, I believe, through saliva testing. And testosterone was 12. We started her on progesterone, 25 milligrams, days 13 through 26 of her cycle. And started on her on a formulation that I call cuddle cream. There's a lot, been a lot of fun names that have gone around about that. Scream cream.
That's my favorite.
I wanted to call it Restorg.
I know this is.
Ooh.
I know this
that's
is.
That's what I wanted to call it.
Hey, I know this is real funny for you guys, but for Marshall and I, we have zero idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Cuddle cream.
Okay, cuddle cream. So it's a Scream combination cream. Of some vasodilators. It has the generic of Viagra.
Yeah.
I allowed to say that.
Yeah.
For a woman.
Testosterone. For a woman.
Ooh.
It has some testosterone in it.
Okay.
Yep. You apply it topically.
So you put it on the labia and the clitoris.
You said that. Pineapple.
OMG.
Oh my gosh. Our ratings increased again.
Yes. You do that daily for a couple weeks. And then I had her just go to 3 to 4 times a week, and you can use it prior to intercourse. You can use it in the morning.
Nice.
You know, you can kind of play with that.
Remember old school. This is something cool. I don't even know about.
Right.
Right.
Your wife's coming to see me next week, isn't she?
Yes. She, is your first appointment, on Monday.
Okay, so we switched her to natural desiccated thyroid and bumped her vitamin D up, B12, methylfolate, all of that. And of course, we did the basics. Chad always talks about this. Diet, gut health, got her on some maintenance basic things, a probiotic omega, multivitamin. We followed her along 8 weeks later, totally improved, better anxiety, less headaches, mood. Energy was better. And she was just like, honestly giggling, like sex was actually good again. And I just can't tell you honestly how impactful that is for a relationship and how honestly rewarded I feel for being able to help her and her husband,
right?
You know, have a better life and her enjoy that again, because after kids, she just kind of felt stripped of what normal was for her during sex.
Right. That's amazing. What a great story.
So let me back up just a little bit. So for our listeners that have this issue, so the men that are listening and their wives have this issue, or the women that are listening and they have this issue, they want this fixed. So they're going to go to their regular doctor. And I know we kind of touched on it a little bit before, but tell me what's going to happen.
Well, I can't tell you because I'm not a regular doctor. But what I'm hearing is...
Yes. Yeah.
What I'm hearing is... You know, are you depressed? They're getting asked, are you depressed? How's the relationship? Do you want an antidepressant? There's a couple docs that may be prescribing the Addy now, but it's the numbers of prescriptions written have been really low for that. I'm not sure that if it's, you know, an issue of it working or what the deal is there. But what I'm hearing is that we're not getting very many answers from providers about how we can fix it.
You know, I would make the case, to back up on your answer a little bit, I would make the case that not very many women are telling their healthcare providers that they have low sex drive.
So you think they're not going to their doctor to begin with for this issue?
That's probably true.
Yes.
It's probably 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to go back to, I think the culture at Revolution is a culture of openness. If you go there, you know, it's a friendly place, right? And you Courtney's very friendly.
Yes.
You, on the serious side, you know, doctor, you know, serious, right?
That's I'm not sure about that.
I know. That's, you know, we have to read all these credentials, which are all true, which makes him seem so kind of stuffy, right? But he is actually a very laid back guy, right?
This Courtney? Is very true.
Yeah.
It's and pretty
I,
true.
I definitely think there's a culture of being, of a person feeling like they can talk about these issues. And I'm with Courtney. I can't imagine my own wife saying, hey, I have low sex drive. Let me just call the local physician and go on down there and talk to him about it.
Well, you know? Usually it's, you know, they're coming in with a whole slew of symptoms. That's not just what's going on. Right. There's way more to the story. They're exhausted. They're not sleeping. They're having a hard time losing weight. And right. really, you think about it, and even without looking at, you know, scientific lab numbers, you know, a way a woman feels about her body, self-image, all of that makes a huge difference. I mean, there's definitely some physiologic things that change and happen after having kids, hysterectomy, menopause, all those things. You know, a lot of women have vaginal dryness and it's painful. Right. And so who wants to have sex if it's painful?
Right.
So getting to the root of those specific issues, as we kind of ask questions, it kind of comes out. And a lot of them don't come in with that being their main complaint. That kind of comes in after just digging through and them getting a little bit comfortable. And sometimes it's on visit two or three that they say, hey, yeah, I remember when you asked me about that. Yeah, we might want to go back to that.
Right.
And they want help.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, I think you even being open to, I think obviously Courtney's a huge value to have at the clinic.
There's no question.
Yeah.
She's fantastic at hormones. I actually recommend when my patients come to see, you know, whether they're new patients or whatever, and they've got these issues, you know, it's not uncommon that the hormones are an issue. One of my first recommendations is you really should see Courtney for these.
Right.
She spends, I mean, this is kind of her passion. This is what she does. She's been trained at A4M. Which is the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine.
Wow.
For hormones. She's met with some of the top physicians in the country, if not the world, in reference to hormones. You know, if I were a woman and had hormone issues, I would be going to Courtney. There's no question.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is an Oprah moment. Do you feel loved, Courtney?
I feel so loved.
Do you feel loved?
I feel so loved. And he's totally right about it. I just love helping women and just get their thing back, get the groove back,
get
their energy and get
mojo.
All of those things, their mojo.
Courtney, tell us a little bit about when you, what spurred you to kind of be so passionate about this? Was there a moment? See, again, it's a version of the Oprah show.
Probably, honestly, you know, as I was starting my own practice, getting out of school, I had trained with Dr. Edwards and kind of seen a little bit of that adrenal fatigue, hormone therapy and that kind of thing. And it just really intrigued me. And as I started talking to more patients about these issues, the number one thing that people were coming in for, quote, functional medicine for was their fatigue and sex drive was always coming up.
Yeah.
And so I just started kind of taking notes in my mind of like, oh gosh, like this is a need in Tulsa, in the nation, in the world. Like people need someone to talk to that they feel comfortable with about their issue and really get honest help. And once I started seeing success, people coming back and sending their friends and I had one patient call me and they were like, hey, my friend came in to see you. And they were really kind of upset because you didn't offer cuddle cream on the first visit. And so I had to call the patient back.
I get the value now.
And so it's just been amazing to be able to find ways to help women.
So what obviously you're a talented person. And
one might say,
yeah, one Dr. Edwards could say, so it's something about this guy that you believe in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I did a lot of my grad school training with Chad and learned what I know about functional medicine or the foundation of it, really inspired me and spurred me on to keep going and keep learning and really make an impact for people.
That's awesome. What a great story. See, you see how the show went? You see how what I did there, Chad, Dr. Chad? I brought it back around.
No, that's good.
That's good
I'm
stuff.
I'm feeling some love here.
You feeling love?
I am.
Is this you need some hankies? You need some cuddle cream?
No, I think I might be okay.
Handkerchiefs.
He just got married.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, you just got married. This is a great show for you.
Yeah.
This is a great, you don't want to talk about that, right?
We're talking about the problems.
So let me ask you on that note, Chad just got married. So I imagine the first year of marriage, you know, the old analogy in marriage where you fill up the nickel in the box and then after the first year of marriage, you got every time you have sex, you got to take one out. And then the rest of your marriage, you'll never take enough nickels out. The first year you're putting in a lot.
That's terrible.
It will never be empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what?
You've never heard that?
Actually never heard that.
Oh my god!
But that's
gosh.
Kind of a sad analogy. We're changing that in Tulsa. Just telling you.
She doesn't like that story. And neither do I.
We're gonna get the hashtag going.
Hashtag
stop faking Tulsa.
Yeah, so let's end on some action steps for people with some very serious
today's
action steps.
Let's do it. So one of my, for my perspective, my first thing is improve overall health.
Right.
You know, focus on what we call the healthy trinity: exercise, nutrition, sleep, rest, recovery from exercise, those kinds of things. When we optimize those things, we generally see most things improve.
With time,
that's correct.
We can go faster.
and that's exactly right. We can intervene, and Courtney does a fantastic job with this stuff, and I'm always asking her on hormone stuff. I'm just right. Like, hey, Courtney, what do you think about this? Or sending them to her if the patient's willing to do so. But she's just got so many, tricks up her sleeve, so to speak,
right.
That can help and can make a dramatic difference. And, you know, she mentioned one story, and I hear stuff like that all the time
right.
From the impact that she's had with patients. So if you've got low sex drive out there, you don't have to. You don't have to have that. It can improve your relationship. It can improve how you feel about yourself. It can improve your overall health. I mean, how many papers have we seen, little things in mm-hmm. Men's Health and Women's Health and Cosmo and whatever about increasing sexual frequency and increasing orgasms and the impact on overall health and stress reduction and
depression,
all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Oxytocin release, all of that.
Absolutely. It's a big deal. And I believe that, not to get spiritual on it, but I believe that sex is a gift from God, and he intended that for our pleasure, and we should be doing that.
Amen.
Not we, but
amen,
we,
brother
but,
Chad.
You know, yeah, we got gotcha. You. We follow
in
yeah.
the appropriate circumstances.
So, Courtney, what do you think of the show? Do you like being on here?
It was a lot of fun.
We need to have Courtney back.
I agree.
Smart girl. Smarter than both of us.
Yeah. And without question, but there's also so much need for what she does.
Oh, yeah. We've got to bounce, but in earlier shows, I encourage people, if you started with this podcast, to go back and listen to some of the other podcasts where we talk about hormones. And I think there's a lot going on there that people are trying to get their arms around.
That's right.
So this is a pretty honest place, right, Pineapple?
Absolutely. It's good stuff today.
Good stuff. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.